If you're following the daily liturgy, you know that we're reading from John chapter 6 every day this week. If you haven't had a chance to reflect on John chapter 6, sometime this week it would be good to read through the whole chapter, because it's a beautiful progression of understanding of the meaning of the bread of life. We know that it will culminate with the description of the Eucharist, but we haven't gotten there yet. And each day we just read a little piece. So if you want to get the whole picture, read through the whole of John chapter 6. Anyway, in this section, Jesus states that he himself is the bread of life. Remember yesterday, in yesterday's gospel, they said, "Sir, give us this bread always." And he said, "I'm the bread. I'm the one that you're hungering for." And then he emphasizes in this section of John chapter 6 the importance of faith, or of believing in him. He says, "Whoever believes in me will never thirst. Whoever believes in me will have eternal life." And the danger of not believing is we cut ourselves off from the very source of life. And Jesus here speaks about the destination, or the conclusion of this journey of faith, that is eternal life on the last day. "Whoever believes in me will have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." So it's a very positive statement about the fruit of living by faith. It leads to eternal life. It leads to resurrection on the last day. Who could ever reject such a thing? Well, very often, the reason why people do not believe is not because of what people think about the last day, but because of what happens today. It's fine to think of a rosy future, but what about today? What about the problems I'm facing today? And this is where many people stumble in the journey of faith, because they say, "Well, if God can't take care of me today, if God doesn't do what I need today, well, then how can I trust that he's going to take care of me on the last day?" And that's what happens. So people think that God isn't really involved, or he's not really doing what he should be doing right now. That's a weakness of faith that we're all susceptible to. But today's first reading gives us an insight into what's going on when things seem to be going so badly for us. In today's first reading, another selection from the Acts of the Apostles, it starts out with a description of the severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, led especially by the Pharisee Saul, who we know was approving of the execution of Stephen in yesterday's reading. So Saul is, and others, are persecuting the church to the point of going into people's houses and dragging them out. I mean, this isn't just talking against the faith. This is physical accosting of people. This is dragging them into prison. In fact, Saul, it seems, would like to kill those who are believers. Maybe he starts with imprisonment, but his real goal is to wipe out these believers. So it's a very severe persecution, and the result is the Christians scatter. They scatter to Samaria and to Judea. You could imagine the Christians in Jerusalem saying, "How can I trust that God's going to take care of me on the last day when he's allowing this severe persecution? Obviously, this isn't working." That's how it could strike anybody who's suffering. And this is how it strikes us when we're suffering. It's if something's going wrong here. But this reading expands our perspective beyond Jerusalem, meaning beyond what we ourselves experience. And it shows that the persecution in Jerusalem leads to the spreading of the word. You might remember a couple of days ago when Gamaliel said, he said, "Let's just see what happens with this group," because usually when the leader of a movement is killed, the followers are scattered and the thing dies out. Well, here, the leader is Jesus, he's been killed, and here, the followers are scattered. But in scattering, they don't just die out. It actually leads to a growth, a spreading of the word, a spreading of the faith. And so we get this example here of Philip, not Philip the apostle, but Philip, one of the seven, like Stephen. Philip goes to Samaria, of all places. If you remember, the tension between the Jews and the Samaritans was so severe that Jews, instead of going directly to Jerusalem, cutting through Samaria, which is the shortest route, they used to go around it. That's how much they didn't want to go to Samaria. Well, here's Philip. He goes to Samaria. Now, I don't know why he went there. Maybe he was inspired by the Holy Spirit, or maybe he just got out of town. I don't know. But he goes there, and to his surprise and to our surprise, he receives a very warm welcome. And the Word of God receives a very open welcome. Whatever he says, the people pay close attention to it. You see the positive side of the persecution. You see the fuller picture of what's going on when what we think is going wrong is God doing something that we didn't expect. Now, very often we can't see that other thing. The people who remained in Jerusalem, they didn't know what was going on in Samaria. And when we're suffering, we don't know what the fruit of that suffering is in our life, in the lives of people we don't even know, in the lives of people we have never even met, or haven't even been born yet. How do we know the fruit of joining our suffering with the suffering of Christ? But the point of the reading is, one lesson we can learn from the reading is, don't limit your judgment of God to what you experience today. And don't cut yourself off from eternal life just because you don't experience it today. Hold on. Continue the journey and let God's plan unfold, because he's certainly doing something great. If it looks like something's going wrong here, something great is going on as the faith is spreading throughout the world. And this is, gosh, repeated in every age of church history, including in our own age, where suffering increases, the faith increases. You might know that famous expression from the early church. The blood of martyrs is the seed of Christians. What seems to be the destruction of the church leads to the growth of the church. That's a marvelous thing to reflect on. It's part of our Easter faith.